Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 125 of Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and now her, what, sexual health clinic? This is going to be interesting. Before we get into this wonderful episode, just know it's made possible by our friends at Smarty Pants Women's Complete Vitamins. They're delicious once-a-day gummies that contain the complete vitamin, mineral, folate, and omega mix, customized for women. Trust me, you won't forget to take them because they taste so great. To learn more, run on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And just a quick reminder to hop on over to iTunes after our episode to rate and review this podcast, because we love to hear from you and I read these things. So come on down, as I say. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
How many of you out there have heard of sexual health clinics? For everyone who's always been stuck in the OBGYN's office, and that's about the only time you ever hear about a conversation that has to do with your sexual health, or, you know, you're picking up the magazines, there's something new cooking out there. Kind of interesting. And we're going to be talking about something that really is what I consider to be an innovation that so many women out there could benefit from, because now we have a concentration of expertise in one place to kind of get the A to Z on literally your sexual health. And to help us understand all of this is Dr. Lauren Stryker. She is an associate professor of clinical obstetrics and gynecology at Northwestern University's Medical School, the Feinberg School of Medicine, and the medical director of the Northwestern Medicine Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause. Yes, there is something like this. Oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. And you know, as we're thinking about this, this new position, this new kind of center, I think it's going to be time now to demystify what happens at these new sexual health clinics, especially at academic medical centers from coast to coast. No better person to discuss this than Dr. Stryker. Hey, welcome on board.
Hey, well, thank you for having me, and I'm so excited to talk about this, of course. And, you know, one of the things that you just said kind of got my attention, and that was when you go to the gynecologist's office is the only time that you talk about this stuff. I wish that was true. What we know is that the majority of women don't talk about this stuff, even with their gynecologist. They don't bring it up for a lot of obvious reasons. They don't think it's important. They're embarrassed. They don't know if there are any solutions. And we also know from a lot of studies that all too often the gynecologist doesn't bring it up either, even if they're a really good doctor. You know, they just seem to be focused on other things. And then the other thing that studies have shown us is if they do bring it up, they generally only bring it up to heterosexual married women. Well, you know, hello. There are a lot of women out there who are not married, who are not heterosexual, and yes, still have sexual concerns. So we know that this was an enormous unmet need, which is really why we decided to do this. You know, knowing that not only is it a huge unmet need, but most important, we have solutions. We are very solution driven.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people have a stereotype too. And that is, you know, I remember I saw the TV show. It was a series, actually, Masters of Sex.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people think that if they go to a sexual health clinic, they got to get naked, have sex.
Right. And worse know, than getting
and
naked.
Someone's really watching them.
Well, that's the other. I mean, they do get naked because we examine them like you do in any doctor's office. But we do not have a busload of people on the other side of the one-way window, you know, watching them have sex. You do not have sex in our center. No one has sex in our center. And if they do, they shouldn't be. It's probably our staff, you know.
Well,
so
you know,
it's part of the normal visit.
Well, you know, first of all, I have your fabulous book, and this is Sex RX, Hormones, Health, and Your Best Sex Ever that you wrote. Thank you for doing that. That helps a lot because, you know, when I was looking at this and then looking at your marvelous work here, I think that you could really cut through a lot of these stereotypes for us right now and tell us, truly, what's it like to go to a sex clinic?
Well, it's actually a lot more comfortable than you would think. So what we do is we first start by sending people to our website, which is sexmedmenopause.nm.org, because we want people to have an introduction to what is it that we do. And when they go to sexmedmenopause.nm.org, and that's NM is in Northwestern Medicine, NM.org, and they see that there's three programs. There's our sexual medicine program, our vulvar health program, and then our menopause program. So they start by clicking on that and just kind of see what are the conditions that we treat, what things are we interested in. And then when they contact the center to request an appointment, they give the coordinator a little bit of an idea of what it is that's going on, and then we send a very detailed questionnaire because we find a lot of people, first of all, are more comfortable answering questions on paper than they are necessarily face-to-face. But more important than that, prior to their visit, we want an idea of why are you coming to the clinic? What's most important to you? You know, if we have someone who maybe would benefit from a pelvic floor physical therapist or maybe who needs an ultrasound, we want to try and set up as much as we can in advance. So by the time the woman gets here, we know a lot about them. And the first thing that we do is we sit down and we have kind of a long conversation where we, yes, review what she's done on the questionnaire, but then take the deeper dive. And most important, we want to know of all the things that you've told us, what bothers you the most? You know, sometimes someone might say, oh, you know, I have difficulty having an orgasm, or I have no libido, or I have dryness, or I have hot flashes. And then when you say, but what do you want to change? Sometimes the answer changes, you know, so it's not for us to decide what the most important thing is. We want you to tell us. And then we do an exam, of course. Because there are physical things that are going to impact on all of these aspects of sexual problems. And then we have to put your clothes back on, and we sit down and we talk. And we do this as a team approach because there are so many different aspects. We have certified sex therapists. We have nutritionists that we work with. We have urologists, urogynecologists. We have, you know, everything. You name it, we have them right here. And if you do have a male partner, we always ask about the male partner. And if he has his own issues, we then have a male sexual medicine urologist that we make sure that he gets seen by him. So we really try and address all of these issues in one spot.
Wow. I mean, where were you when we all needed you 10 years ago, 20 years ago, for crying out loud?
Well,
oh my gosh, that's right.
Exactly,
we weren't talking about things.
No, we weren't talking about it. And, you know, and everyone says, are there any other sexual medicine clinics in the country? And yes, there are, but a lot of them are quite specialized. So, for example, a lot of the cancer centers, they might have a specific survivorship sexual center. We know certainly, you know, Indiana has some a nice center. Stanford has someone doing sexual health there. So there are these little pockets, but it's unusual to find a center that is academic, and we are very academic, and that, so we're also doing research, we're also teaching all the good stuff, and that we're all in one spot. Because what happens a lot of times is you'll go to see someone and they'll say, okay, you need to see a sex therapist, let me refer you. You need to see have pelvic floor physical therapy because of the pain that you have, we're going to refer you. We have it all right here. And that means my pelvic floor physical therapist, who literally is 20 feet from me right now, her office, if I have a patient coming to see her, I can say, you know, how's she doing? What's going on? I'm going to be seeing her next. So that it's very collaborative. It really changes the whole rhythm of what we're doing.
So what are the main problems or issues you see? I bet it's different between young women. And when I say young women, I say, you know, primarily women, say up to 20, up to 35, right?
We actually divide it a little
20s.
Differently. Yeah. No,
yeah.
It is
how do you
dependent.
Do it?
We kind of divide it by hormonal status. So
really?
Yeah, because we know that no matter what's going on, that if someone is menopausal, that adds a whole other layer to it. So we look at the under menopause crowd and the over menopause crowd. So, and a lot of the menopause crowd can be quite young. You know, we have women who have a premature ovarian insufficiency or failure. We have women who, because of chemotherapy, maybe from cancer, might only be in their 30s and have problems. So when we look at the women who have not been through menopause yet, who are still pumping out estrogen, who are, you know, really, that's not their issue, we do see different problems with them. A lot of times we see painful intercourse, but it's not because of vaginal dryness necessarily. It might be from endometriosis, interstitial interstitial cystitis, pelvic floor issues. It may be from trauma from when they were younger that they have, you know, vaginismus. We see young women, I've seen a whole bunch of these, young women, there's a very, very specific syndrome of women who have painful, painful vaginal openings from being on low-dose birth control pills and terrible dryness. I saw one woman, I think it was an unconsummated marriage. She'd been married for 7 years and had never had intercourse because it was too painful. And she went from doctor to doctor who said, you're young, you're fine, you're on the pill, you've got plenty of estrogen. And in fact, she had physical changes that it was took us about 10 seconds to diagnose this and say, no, you should not be on the pill. You need to get off the pill and we're going to fix this. But, you know, and then of course, in the menopause crowd, we have all the same issues that we can see in the younger women, but then you layer on top of that not only menopause, the lack of estrogen, and the decline in testosterone, but you are also looking at other medical conditions because by age 50, there every woman has at least one medical condition, and of course, that number goes up. And if you look at the impact of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, cancer, multiple sclerosis, I always tell the medical students, I challenge you to give me any medical issue that does not impact on sexual health or well-being, and it does not exist, whether it's arthritis. I mean, you know, the list is, just goes on and on. So, but to answer your question more specifically, what kinds of problems we see, you know, when we talk about sexual medicine, we're looking at the physical, hormonal, and medical things, which is a little bit different than, you know, therapy, which we, of course, pay attention to, but that's right. Not my area of expertise as a gynecologist. And we divide this into four different categories. Number one, libido. I don't think about sex. I don't want sex. I don't care about sex. Number two, arousal disorders. Nothing's happening, you know? Handsome guy sitting two, you know, steps away from me, you know, nothing. No heart racing, no vaginal lubrication, nothing's happening. Number three, we look at painful intercourse. Not every woman, of course, wants to have intercourse, but for those that do, there can be pain involved in intercourse that we need to deal with. And number four, orgasmic dysfunction, meaning inability to have an orgasm, takes so long, I've given up already, it's like so pathetically weak, who cares, or painful, you know, anything having to do with orgasm. So those are the four basic categories. And as you can well imagine, they all overlap. You know, it's like if someone has no libido, the first thing I'll say to them is, well, how was it the last time you tried to have sex? And they'll say it hurt like hell. And I'm like, okay, there's a reason you don't want to have sex. It would be normal to not want to do something that's painful. So, you know, when we have these women fill out these questionnaires, it is not unusual for someone to be what we call, you know, pan positive, meaning they answer yes to everything. And then it's for us to kind of tease it out and figure out, well, what's the primary thing? Where did this all start? What happened as a result of the problem as opposed to being the initial problem?
Well, and then there's also that big layer of mental health, as it were. When you said that there's nothing out there, certainly technically with a body that doesn't affect sexual health, you know, one of the most striking things is stress.
Stress.
Wherever the heck it comes from. Good stress, funky stress. I mean, you know, you're studying for, you know, your finals, you're trying to get into law school, med school, whatever the issue is, back and forth. I mean, the last thing on your mind is, hey, you know, I feel really open to having a great sexual, experience.
And the other
it's more
thing
like,
that comes
you know,
with
just
stress,
get me through the day.
You're exactly right. And the other thing that comes with stress is insomnia. And we know that sleep disturbance is one of the number one drivers of sexual dysfunction. And people think I focus
and you know
way
something?
Too much on
I
sleep,
bet the but, grand you know. Majority of women out there don't know that. Because so many women are literally depriving themselves of sleep to be able to accomplish the 955 things they have on their plate every day, and thinking that sleep, well, I'll make up for it on the weekend, only to find out, well, you know what research shows, that ain't happening.
That ain't happening. And as you say, you know, I mean, there's really nothing more important, and you need that 7 hours every night. Otherwise, when you see the pillow, you're not thinking about sex. You're thinking just, I got to get some sleep, and it just makes you irritable and distracted, and you know, and we spend a lot of time figuring out why aren't people sleeping? Is it because of stress? Is it because of hormones? Is it because of
you're sleeping with your iPad or your iPhone, or you know, you've got the blue light thing shining in your face all night, and there it is. You know, another thing, I'm curious how your clinic deals with this. So many women have terrible, you know, sense of their body. They really experience body shame. And there's nothing in the world to kill your libido than to look in the mirror and say to yourself, I'm so ugly. Who the heck would want me anyway? And even if your partner says you're the most beautiful thing on the planet, and oh my God, you're saying to yourself, nah, not happening.
That's right.
How do you deal with that over there? Because you know this is ubiquitous.
Absolutely. And that's why we have a wonderful, wonderful therapist who has an expertise in this. A lot of people are not familiar with people that are certified sex therapists. There's an organization called ASECT, which essentially trains already experienced therapists in these kinds of issues. And it does take a great deal of special training. And I have so many patients who come in and say, you know, my husband and I are great. My partner and I are fine. We don't have any issues. We don't have any issues. And I'm like, I'm sure you are, and I'm sure he's very supportive. But let's be honest here. You haven't had any sexual activity for 6 years, and you think that hasn't impacted on your relationship? I think you need to see our couples therapist just for a check-in and a tune-up. And they generally agree, and then they tell me that was the most helpful thing ever. So I would, you know, the message that I want to get out there is if you feel like that would not be helpful to you, it probably would be helpful to you. Give it a try, but you need to be in the right hands, you know, and there are ways to find out who these people are. And I do talk about that in my book, Sex RX, as well. How do you find someone who knows something about this, who's an ASECT certified therapist? And one of the reasons I wrote the book, of course, is when you're in New York or Chicago and you have access to experts and to all this stuff. But for a lot of women who are out there, they don't. And so I wrote Sex RX so that every woman would have access to the basic information and then can sometimes go to her doctor who otherwise hasn't been helpful and say, you know, I've done some reading about this and this is what I need. This is what I like. Because, you know, as I mentioned, I'm very solution oriented and I'd like to talk about some of the solutions for these issues. And I think when women are armed with that kind of information, they don't have to wait for someone to give them the solution. You can go to your doctor and say, hey, you know, I read about this, and can I have a prescription for this, or can I try this? Or if I just tell them, you know, what's the right lubricant? What's the right toy to use? You know, you just have to have that right at your fingertips.
Well, you know, here's something else, too, and I'm so glad you brought up the sex therapist, because I think a lot of people have absolutely flipping no clue as to what that is and how many, seriously, OBGYN practices even have a sex therapist really associated with it per se. Not a whole lot.
And, no, I can tell you very, kinda, very few. Very, very few.
Oh, yeah. You have to hunt and peck out there to be able to find anything.
No, and in fact, I put together a network of certified sex therapists throughout, not just where we are, but I'm actually doing it countrywide because I see so many women who come from out of town. The women will fly into our center for the day, and we will, you know, do our whole evaluation, and then I'll say, okay, now you need to see a sex therapist, and you're visiting me from Arizona. I'm going to find someone for you because now I know how to find these people, or a pelvic floor physical therapist, because we know that, you know, sometimes it is going to be a one-time consultation. And so we are putting together a nationwide network, and we're carefully vetting these people. My daughter is actually a sex therapist, so she's in charge of the network, and she's putting that together. And it's so far, it's been very helpful to have.
Now, how does a woman who's listening right now to her podcast access that information? Does she go to sexmedmedicine.nm.org to find
out? That's where she should go if she would like to request an appointment. And then when she talks to our patient coordinator, she can say, I'm coming from out of town. And from the out of town folks, we really bend over backwards to do even a more thorough evaluation before they get here, because we want to set up every single appointment we can, kind of a Mayo sort of thing, so that when they walk in the door, we already have an appointment for them with the sex therapist, if we think that's appropriate, or the urologist for their male partner. And we are, you know, Northwestern, we're a big center, so we are very set up to see patients not only all over the country, but internationally as well. You know, we do that here. So it's easy. It's easy. We can make that happen.
Very cool. You know, I'm thinking, I know for a fact as a physician that, you know, I've been asked this question, you know, a lot. And it's always kind of a bit of a challenge to answer this comprehensively. What is normal sexual activity at whatever age? I mean, hold on a sec. Older women, especially once you hit like 50, 55, 60, start writing it off saying, well, that was fine when I was younger, but really, honestly, it does not impact upon my health. So who cares anyway?
Yeah, and what I have found as a sweeping generalization is the women that don't care are the ones that never had great sex anyway, I mean, quite frankly. The women who do care are the ones that come in and say, I really enjoyed my sex life, and everything was great, and it's like someone flipped that switch, and I miss it, and I miss having orgasms, and I want it back. The women who it was really more of an obligation, and they never had great sex, and it's all very sad because they never really addressed it, and then they go through menopause, and they're almost just as glad to have a reason to not even go there anymore. And we know from studies that not everyone who has these problems wants to do something about it. But as far as what's normal, there's, as you can imagine, a wide range of normal. I saw a patient yesterday who said, oh, my sex drive isn't what it used to be. We only have sex twice a day. And I'm like, whoa, how do you get anything done? And she said, well, you know, it doesn't take very long. And I thought, well, how nice. But you know, and other people, they're perfectly happy. And also, it's defining sex. Sex is not necessarily intercourse. You know, sexual activity can be all kinds of things. And the way that I always define it is touching your partner in a way that you would not touch your brother. You know, so whether it's a deep kiss or, you know, stroking their genitals or doing something, you know, does it matter if there's actual intercourse going on? No, as long as you're having mutually satisfying sexual interactions with your partner, I think that's important to do on a regular basis. And then how often you have intercourse or sexual activity, that is, you know, dependent on so many things. And the most important thing is that you're both in agreement. You know, that there's not a desire discrepancy is one of the things that we send people to the sex therapist for. You know, if one person says, I'm fine having sexual activity once a week, but I've got a partner who wants it every day, and this has created a real problem for us, well, then that's something that needs to be addressed, the desire discrepancy.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So, you know, what I love about your answer is that really, honestly, there's a spectrum of options.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the typical get into one position and just let it rip kind of thing. And having sexual intercourse, it's so much bigger than that.
So much bigger. And we refer to it as SSE, satisfying sexual experiences. This doesn't have to have anything to do with intercourse.
Oh, I love to hear that because, you know, I think a lot of women really, don't you think, are stuck in this, well, there's a certain number of times per week, per month, and if I fall below that, it's like, oh, good Lord, it has nothing to do with that.
That's right.
It's much richer than that. And
yeah.
I assume that you spend a lot of time at your clinic really explaining that, correct?
That's exactly right. And the other thing also is I think a lot of women feel like, well, it's got to be really complicated to deal with this stuff, or maybe I'm going to need hormones, so I don't want to do that. So they don't even, like, show up. And quite frankly, sometimes it's as simple as giving them the right lubricant. I mean, you know, everyone thinks that, oh, that's like, you know, of course everybody knows about lubricants, and they go to the drugstore and they grab the first thing on the shelf. And it doesn't work for them, and they think, okay, well, I guess I'm never going to have sex again. And then very often we'll get in and we'll say to someone, no, you know what, you were just using the wrong lubricant. And it may be that we just need to give you a little lubricant 101 to help you get the right lubricant. And, to, you know, we're big fans of silicone lubricants, which are so much more slippery, and they last so much longer, and there's so many of them out there on the market. You know, there's your Plant Silky Smooth, there's Wet Platinum, there's a new one called Pulse, which is amazing. And sometimes that's all that it takes, is the right lubricant. And we actually have, Pulse makes a new thing, a lubricant warmer by the bedside. It's like amazing. You put these little pods of lubricant in and it's hands-free. You put your hand under it so you're not fussing with the bottles and all that stuff. And this nice warm serving of lubricant comes out so that it's, you know, ready to go whenever you are. And those are the kinds of small things that can make a big, big difference. Or even things like, you know, I can't have an orgasm. You know, I mean, there are some women who've never had an orgasm, and quite frankly, either sometimes they just need a map and an instruction about their own anatomy, and we have a big mirror in every room, and we follow along as we examine you so we can educate women about their anatomy, because I always say men, you know, they like inspect their penis obsessively, and they know every square inch of it. Women, they can't see it.
Oh my gosh,
don't know,
you're so
you know?
Right.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, you know, and Well, women never do that, you know.
No. And it's
women
so
are just sort of like, well, it's, well, you know how we always say that. It's down there, you know,
down
whatever
there,
that's about.
And at first we get the mirror out, and most people are like, oh, no, I don't want to see, I don't want to see. And then once
Issue of orgasm is really huge.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's assumed that most women have actually experienced orgasm and that they really understand their anatomy well enough to be able to, you know, get all of that.
That's exactly right. And the number one myth about orgasm is that it's going to happen during intercourse. And you and I both know that that's one big myth, and that the overwhelming majority of women are not able to have orgasms during straight or intercourse, that they need to have direct clitoral stimulation, whether it's from their partner, themselves, or using a device, you know, a vibrator. Now, there's something new also that I don't know if you've heard of. Have you heard about Fiera? Do you know what Fiera is?
Tell us.
F-I-E-R-A. Christmas is coming up. I know that these pods live on for a long time, but Christmas is always coming up, right? So,
yeah,
and why, well, you don't need a holiday, actually, to buy yourself something nice. So Fiera is an arousal device that helps women have orgasms. And the way that it works is it's a very small little device that actually attaches over the clitoris. You put this on when you're, you know, want to get in the mood, and you just turn the little button on, and it, there's a little kind of a vacuum sort of device in it so that it increases blood flow to the clitoris, and it also has a little bit of a vibration rotation device so that it just makes you feel really excited, because it's all about blood flow, because you have to make sure that those nerve endings are getting good blood. And then when women use Fiera, they then take it off, and then they are just so ready that they have an orgasm much more quickly. There's another device called Intensity, which is intense, and these are all over-the-counter devices. And Intensity basically goes in the vagina for people who want that inside feeling as well. It's got a clitoral stimulator, but this one actually stimulates the pelvic floor to contract, because part of a strong orgasm is having a strong pelvic floor. So my point is, and these are just like a couple of things I'm throwing out that make all the difference in the world, but it's not, I mean, I'm fine with hormones too, by the way. It's not that I have an issue with hormones, but a lot of women prefer not to use hormones or think that every single solution is hormonal. And in most cases, if someone chooses not to use hormones or can't, you know, if someone's had breast cancer or we've just been told to stay away from hormones, we always have non-hormonal solutions as well.
I love this. Everyone out there, we have been talking to Dr. Lauren Stryker. She is the author of Sex RX, Hormones, Health, and Your Best Sex Ever. And she's directing a very cutting-edge clinic that really helps women understand the A to Z on their sexual health. And I want you to run on over to her website, sexmedmedicine.nsnancymsandmary, so that's northwesternmed.org. Also, to learn more about her wonderful work, how about running on over to drstryker.com, and that's drsamtreicher.com, and of course get her flipping book, because literally she is describing so much of the content of that book, and you could have it in your hot little hands and learn more about her work as well. Dr. Stryker, thank you so much for helping us understand the ins and outs of sexual health clinics.
The ins and outs. I appreciate your
having me. I know. You know, we had to go there. I mean, we just had to go there. But thank you for being on this podcast. You were absolutely fabulous. And remember, for everyone out there, catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And please take 30 seconds, even less, and rate and review this podcast, because we'd love to hear your input and feedback. We read it and we use it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.